afternoon, everyone. My name is Juan Gaitán, and I'm the head of investor relations at Cellnex. I'm joined today by José Manuel Aisa, CFO and M&A director, who will lead today's presentation. I would like to thank you for joining us today for Cellnex Q3 2015 results conference call. We have earlier today posted a presentation, which we will refer to throughout our prepared remarks under the investor relations section on our website. And then we'll open the line for a Q&A session. So now I'll hand over to José Manuel Aisa. Please, José Manuel.
Thank you, Juanjo. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for your time today. And please allow me to start by highlighting that we are proud to present again a solid set of results, with all projects and work streams on track and progressing exactly as planned, and our current activities delivering a continued strong organic growth with sustained demand seen for our portfolio of towers. So in the slide 3, in general terms, we are showing a continued strong top-line growth due to our telecom site rental business. This is explained by a sound organic growth during the first 9 months of 2015, along with the contribution to our figures from our recent acquisition, the most relevant one being Galata. In terms of activity, we have managed to increase the number of POPs by 6% compared to December 2014, which is not regarded as one, and even during the summer period, which is not regarded as one of the most active ones in terms of commercial activity. We are also paving the way for future organic growth by actively pursuing rationalization projects with mobile operators looking for a reduction of their cost base. In this area, we see a project scope of at least 2,000 towers to be decommissioned, and we expect to announce good news in FORPA agreements in the next weeks. Additionally, we are also active trying to reach agreement with new tenants, and we expect to sign new contracts with regional operators in the short term, with preliminary negotiations signaling a scope of some hundreds of POPs over the coming months. We continue to be active optimizing our portfolio, with the tower decommissioning process associated with the Volta project showing a 95% completion degree. Let me recall you that Volta project consisted on the acquisition of towers from both Telefónica and Yoigo. This strong performance of our telecom site rental business more than offsets the temporary impact from the shutdown of TV channels back in 2014, April, which we expect to bring back to normalized levels from next year, as uncertainties surrounding this business continue to be removed. With regard to this topic, we can confirm that the retendering process of new TV channels is on track, with the Spanish government having awarded 6 new channels just 1 week ago. We expect to recover around 35 million euros per annum on a full year basis, and these new TV channels to be operated from Q1 2016. Additionally, we have also seen an incremental activity in the radio broadcast segment, with 57 new radio stations in service during Q3 2015. In the network service, since another area, we are also seeing a strong performance of revenues thanks to the PPDR business, with new sales to regional governments of Tetra terminals representing 4 million euros in additional revenues for this year. Also, the Spanish government has open a binding process for smart cities in different cities of Spain, with a total market opportunity of around 40 million euros and potential revenues for Cellnex of around 15 million euros in the next 2 years. On top of what we have already achieved and the opportunities ahead, we keep analyzing any single opportunity we can find to create value for our shareholders, always following our strict criteria in terms of value creation and cash flow visibility. Another example is our efficiency program, with its definition is on track, and details of which will be offered during our 2015 full year results presentation. Additionally, we are implementing new measures in order to reshuffle our tax management, and their description can be found in the appendix of this presentation. We are basically in the process of implementing 3 different measures. The first one is the notion interest deduction, which is a tax incentive that can be found in some European countries, aiming at equalizing the tax treatment of debt and equity. The second one is the capitalization reserve, aiming to strengthen net equity in the balance sheet by keeping retained earnings undistributed. And the last one is the patent box, which provides relief from corporate tax on income generated from certain types of qualifying intellectual property. In light of our recent performance and our view of the remaining months of the year, we are in a position to confirm our full year 2015 adjusted EBITDA guidance of around 235 million euros. Finally, a brief update on the shareholder remuneration, as we intend to submit our proposal to our next board of directors in late November. So I would suggest everyone to flip the slide, so slide number 4. Looking now at our key performance indicators when compared to 2014, we have increased the total number of sites to 15,127, mainly due to our Galata transaction. This figure is lower than last quarter due to our network optimization, in other words, dismantling activities in Spain. We have also increased our tenancy ratio, thanks to the addition of new tenants and the decommissioning process of our own sites. It is worth highlighting that as of September 2015, our telecom site rental activity already represents 48% of our total revenues, up from 44% last quarter, and with this share expected to reach half of our business by the end of 2015. As the full year effect of our last transaction and our focus to keep growing on this area, both organically and inorganically, is reflected in our figures. So, slide number 5, you can see the evolution of sites, POPs, and the resulting consolidated tenancy ratio, with the impact of M&A activity. Despite this effect, we have continued to optimize our network through decommissioning and managed to grow organically by adding new tenants in the 2 countries where we are already present. It is very important to emphasize that during the period, we have managed to increase the number of POPs by 6% when compared to December 2014. In just 9 months, and even considering summer period, which is not the most active in terms of commercial activity. Slide number six. Let me now spend some time explaining our income statement in detail. Looking to revenues, we have suffered the negative impact of the shutdown of nine TV channels, which took place in May 2014. This effect has partially been offset by the simulcast, broadcast of the same content over two different frequencies, carried out during the first months of 2015. Please take into consideration that this is a one-off effect in the year, with its associated revenues not to be seen again in 2016. As I have already explained, Teleconcert rental revenues increased mainly due to recent acquisition and also a strong organic contribution from our past transactions, both in Spain and Italy. Network services and other revenues saw a strong 10% increase due to the new sales of Tetra terminals and the extension of PPTR contracts. Moving now to OPEX, we have a very well-contained cost base with a flat performance on a like-for-like basis. The increase shown on our P&L is mainly due to cost directly associated with our recent acquisitions. Incremental costs, which are treated as pass-through, therefore also reflected as revenues, and finally, non-recurring items. As the year progresses, we expect efficiencies to start being more and more visible on our P&L. After adding back non-recurring items and non-cash effects, our EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, reaches 176 million euros, a strong 33% increase when compared to the same period last year. Depreciation and amortization charges increased 54 million euros, mainly as a result of our recent acquisitions, and income tax decreases as a result of the tax management measures already explained, detail of which you will find in the appendix. Cellnex net profit reaches 19 million euros, down when compared to last year due to the combined contribution of the effects already explained. The increase in non-M&A expansion capex is mainly explained by the works carried out in the context of the simulcast, which also translate into more revenues in 2015. Slide number 7, moving to adjusted EBITDA, which is calculated as profit before operation, before depreciation and amortization, and after adding back advances to customers and non-current items, you can see how the negative of broadcasting infrastructure performance is more than offset by the contribution from inorganic and organic growth in the Teleconcert rental. Please note that in the performance of our adjusted EBITDA, there is 6 million euros of adjusted EBITDA which are coming from organic growth due to the new POPs and additional service from networks, services, and others. Page 8. If we now focus on recurring levered free cash flow, it is important to note our strong adjusted EBIT growth with a 33% increase, and also we have managed to keep our sound cash conversion ratio above 95% in terms of recurring operating free cash flow and above 80% in terms of recurring levered free cash flow, even with temporary negative impacts from our broadcasting business. Our working capital chain remains very low thanks to our strict management, and we expect to finish the year with a neutral performance. In terms of cash tax, it is important to highlight that this is higher than P&L tax due to the unwinding of the deferred tax associated to Galata, as the amortization of intangible assets is not deductible. When compared to last year, the decrease is basically explained by the implementation of tax management measures. Maintenance CapEx has been catching up during this last quarter, but still shows a relatively low level on a cumulative basis. This recent performance is expected to replicate during the last quarter, so that maintenance CapEx reaches normalized levels by year-end. Finally, M&A CapEx increases due to Galata and the phase two of Volta Extended carried out very early this year. On shareholder remuneration, we expect to approve this shareholder remuneration in the next board of directors late November. So if we move to page 9, and talking about our balance sheet, Cellnex has increased the size of its total assets by an amount slightly below 1 billion euros due to Galata. Our total equity has remained similar to 2014, with the change mainly due to the net profit generated in the first 9 months of this year. Moreover, we have increased our total borrowings by 623 million euros in order to accomplish the already mentioned acquisition. As of September 2015, our leverage ratio is below our long-term target of 4x net EBITDA, with our net debt increasing when compared to last quarter due to the cash generation in the period being more than offset by payments associated with the second phase of Volta Extended, fees linked to Galata, our IPO cost, and recent bond issue one-off cost. Slide number 10. As a reminder of the different items that need to be considered when projected our full year 2015 figures, we still expect our adjusted EBITDA to reach around 235 million euros. Maintenance CapEx should present around 3.5% of our total revenues. Our networking capital change should tend to neutral, and both interest paid and tax paid for the second semester should be similar to the amounts paid in the first semester. Finally, slide number 11. Please allow me just a reminder of Cellnex's main highlights for the period. First, we have managed to show a continued strong performance in the telecom service rental business based on organic growth and accretive acquisitions, while setting the foundations for future organic opportunities. Second, uncertainties surrounding our broadcasting business are progressively being removed, expected to reach a stable base from Q1 2016. Third, we confirm our adjusted EBITDA guidance of around 235 million euros for the full year 2015. Fourth, our efficiency program definition shows positive progress. And finally, we expect to approve our first shareholder remuneration in our next board of directors.
Okay, and with this, I would like to open the line to for the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. There will be a short silence while questions are being registered. Thank you. First question comes from Henrik Herbst from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks very much. Can you please, I have two questions actually. Can you please give a little bit more color on the 2,000 towers that are part of the rationalization projects you're discussing, whether it's in Spain or Italy or maybe somewhere else? And then also if you could give maybe some color in terms of where you are on the wind side. I think you've, under the MSA with wind, they're due to... or you're due to provide additional services on 1,190 sites during the year. So maybe a little bit of where you are on that. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you very much for your questions. I think both questions somehow have something in common, which is the organic growth. And these are for sure very important topics. Regarding your first question, which is the 2,000 sites, we are working with different MNOs in both countries, but we cannot be more, let's say, clear in this regard because of confidentiality reasons. We would like to keep this for us. If finally we're able to reach an agreement, we will give you further detail to your question. And regarding the one site, the wind or other potential activities with wind, again, there has been quite rumors in the market that we maybe wanted to sell assets, maybe we could reach an agreement with wind. Again, I think that this kind of organic agreements require time, require both parties being very prudent, and also I think that it makes sense for us to carry out and hopefully also for the counterparty. So let me, regarding organic growth, to be very prudent and to say to you that the company is fully focused and we would like to share with you our first outcomes as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Nick Brown from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. I've got a couple of questions, please. Just given Telecom Italia is reviewing its options for its Inwit stake, can you remind me what's the maximum leverage you'd be prepared to go for a major transaction? Is it 6 times or can you go a bit higher? And should we consider leverage before or after potential synergies? And secondly, there's been a lot of press speculation F2I could be interested in acquiring towers in Italy. Would you be prepared to consider partnering with a minority financial investor for a major transaction? Thanks.
Thank you very much for your question. I think somehow both companies, both questions are linked, no? I think that, first of all, we are assessing not only the opportunity that you are presenting to us, but also several other opportunities, and these opportunities have to meet our strict criteria in terms of value creation and also in terms of cash flow visibility. So your first part of the question was about 4 times, 6 times net debt EBITDA after a less transaction. Well, what we communicated in the roadshow presentation is that our target level is 4 times. And at the same time, we are not dogmatic in these 4 times, which means that if this year we end up being 3.7 times net debt EBITDA, for us is not something wrong. And if we continue further 3.5 or 3 times, we are not going to execute M&A transactions to become 4 times. On the other way around, if somehow we execute a transaction and we get to 6 times, which could be a good number, for us will be critical to show to the market that we delivered very quickly, first, after this transaction. Second, that our client base is more diversified, and also that our backlog is higher after this transaction. So it's not only a question of multiples, it's a question of credit quality in general. The company as of today is BB+, and I think the management and the board of directors so far believes is a good level to stay. So even though we are not dogmatic, we understand that the target of 4x in the long term makes sense, and we will respect this target. So happy to become 6x, 6.5x, as long as we are back to 4x. Okay. And regarding minorities is something which is not only important in Italy, or is not only important in other countries apart from Spain, in which we are initially we started to be as a Spanish player. Minorities as a concept are important everywhere. Let's recall you that in the Galata acquisition we also have a minority which is Wind, and I think that this, in this case, Italian flavor is necessary. But as a general concept, if we were talking about French, a French partner, minority French partner, can make sense, as long as it is not a shareholding that can weaken our profitability. Okay?
Thanks. Can I just follow up quickly on the Wind minority? In the structure of any transactions you might consider, will that affect Wind's stake in Galata at all, or is anything that's been considered above that level at Cellnex Italia level, and so there won't be any impact? Can you just help me there?
I'm afraid we have not been able to elaborate so far there. I mean, I'm sorry about that. We have not been able to. I think there is a somehow mismatch between market rumors and what the company is focused on. Our current focus is organic growth, is to assess every single opportunity according to our strict value creation and cash flow visibility criteria. So all these questions, which I do understand and are very good questions, maybe it's a little bit early to give an answer. I cannot be more helpful.
No, that's great. You've been very helpful. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from James Ratzer from New Street Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Two questions, please. First question, just following on from the previous one. If you are to consider kind of potential deals, I mean, Inwit is one that has been mentioned. You talked about minorities coming in to help you, but would you see moving to control of an asset as a critical prerequisite? And it seems like Telecom Italia is obviously still keen to maintain an interest, and there could be a free float. So I just wanted to understand your interest in whether control of an asset is critical. And secondly, I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about how you see the small cell opportunity developing for you in both Spain and in Italy. You've talked a bit about the smart city initiative. Could you talk a little bit more about what other opportunities you see beyond that over time? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. Let me answer and maybe clarify your first question. I think maybe before I have not been clear enough. Of course, the company is focused on control the assets that acquire. So that's for sure. That's for sure. So we need control over the assets. We need control over the cash flows. We need control over the industrial plan. We need control over the board. We need control in the asset itself. That's for sure, as industrial partner. The thing is that if you go to a new country, having a minority that respect these concepts can make sense, as in the case of Galata and Wind. But the minority is a real minority, which means that does not control the company. So this is something, for sure, we must control cash flows as we are controlling today Galata's cash flows, or those cash flows coming from our Spanish companies. Okay? Regarding the small cells.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Regarding the small cells question, well, this the Spanish government has just published this next process of around total quantum of 40 million euros. I think this is a first very good movement for the European countries, and it's also in one of our home markets. So we are pretty keen on that. I mean, we are really interested in developing this opportunity because, as you know, we have done something similar in Barcelona, in the city of Barcelona. And also, this is a first step in a slow trend that can appear in Europe. But this is a first step. So we want to be present. We want to be fully focused on that, to learn, to obtain the best cash flows, to generate value for our shareholders. So this is something we are very happy. I mean, it's first good step in a long-term process and in our home market, so good news.
Could you help us to think about how the margin would compare on a small cell project compared to on your more traditional tower site rental business, please?
Yeah, you are right. When you raise this question, you are right. I mean, it's a different business model. You cannot somehow say that telecom site rental dismantling sites generates the same level of EBITDA margin of small cells. For sure, this will be different. The thing here is, apart from being a different business model, the point here is a little bit different. It's not only about economics, it's about being prepared to what is towering in a very broad concept. Now, obviously, our core business is telecom site rentals, is acquiring towers, dismantling towers, and fostering our organic growth, 6% increase in the first 9 months, but also to keep an eye on the next business development, in the next business development that can happen in Spain and Europe, being Cellnex, small cells, one of the key points in the future. We have to learn from this. We have to assess the different opportunities to also propose different alternatives to the different city halls and to extract value by giving more service. So it's a business model which is starting that for sure we would like to somehow define, we would like to somehow understand to make it more, let's say, profitable in the future. So this is a process. Let's not forget that the small cells is related to active equipment itself. So this is an important thing. It's active equipment, so how involved. So here I think in the very first steps of a new business development, Cellnex will be fully involved to generate cash flows that can be accretive for our shareholders. It's a process, to be honest. The telecom service rental is more advanced in this regard.
Great, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my three questions. The first one is related with some of the details that you have given in the third quarter. And just to check, because I was a little bit surprised on the process of the commissioning also starting to affect not only to your tower telecom sites, but also to your broadcasting towers. And in that sense, I would like to know if there is the similar amount of synergies or what is the rationale behind this decommissioning in the broadcasting business. The second one is also on the on your guidance for the full year. 235 million euros for adjusted EBITDA implies 59 million euros EBITDA for the fourth quarter. I would like to know just if you are expecting some different trends in the fourth quarter versus the third, in which you already obtained 61. And from a more strategic point of view, yes, I'm willing to share your views on given the current tougher stance of the European antitrust body on mobile players consolidation around Europe, I would like to know, in order to maintain 4 players per market, I would like to know what is your what is the impact in your business from this, how can I say, lower out or smaller outlook for consolidation in the mobile markets in Europe. Is that positive? Is that negative? How did you see it? Thank you.
Okay, no problem, Fernando. Thank you for your questions. I think maybe Juanjo can help me with the first question.
Fernando, just to clarify, the decommissioning process is only affecting telecoms and retail sites in Spain. So it is true that there's a classification of types of new towers depending on if we manage to put new telecoms and rental services on top of TV towers, which we classify as dual use. But all the decommissioning process is, as of today, directly linked to the towers we acquired from both Telefónica and Yoigo in the past. So it's only affecting telecoms and rental sites.
Yes, Fernando, regarding your second and third question, yes, you are right. We expect that the last quarter of the year will be similar to quarter number two, quarter number three in terms of cash flow, quarter number three maybe. We have to be prudent. You know that we tend to give prudent performance for the company, so yes, take Q3 as a good proxy. Well, you know, we are doing our best, yeah, and also we will have time to talk H2 results with good news for sure. And regarding your question number three, which is about the consolidation in the European market, you are right. I mean, our somehow potential future clients are merging and then are consolidating the market. However, Fernando, take into account what was going to happen in Denmark, which is a market in which we are not present. In Denmark, it was rumored that, two out of the four players in the market were going to merge somehow, and they went, this was by fact, it was for sure, and then they went to the European Commission, and it was rumored that some of the remedies was the sale of towers. They said minority stake, majority stake, doesn't matter. Well, one of the remedies was the sale of towers. So I think that in a landscape, well, finally, you know that the European Commission did not allow this transaction to go on. So four MNO players in Denmark, and the bad news is that we have not the opportunity to acquire those towers or potentially have acquired those towers. So MNO consolidation has pros and has cons. And I think the important message here for the whole market is clear, is Cellnex is ready to move in a market which has already been consolidated or has not been already been consolidated. We will find angles. Towering is not only about a tower in which there are more equipment. Yes, it's about that, but also about new technologies that are around a tower. Before the previous question, small cells, is also about new angles regarding sale down because of a potential merger, and also new services that you can give to the already consolidated markets in terms of towering and maybe upgrading the last mile of the optic fiber, which is next to the tower. So there are many, let's say, infrastructure business we can develop around the concept of towering, which we do know and we think is good, is a dynamic concept, okay?
Okay, many thanks.
You're welcome, Fernando.
Next question comes from Amit Kelly from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. It's Amit at Morgan Stanley. I've just got a couple of questions, please. The first question is on OpEx. You said that you might see some greater reductions in OpEx in the coming quarters. Could you just quantify where those reductions will come from? And if you pair up those reductions in OPEX with the turn on of the additional broadcasting capacity in Spain, do you think we've got a path maybe back towards the EBITDA margins we saw back in 2012, 2013, when I think EBITDA margins for Cellnex were around the 41, 42, 43% level? And then my second question is just on the existing business in Italy on Galata. I just remember at the time of the IPO, obviously you had a high tenancy ratio in Spain, about 1.8 tenants per site. And the tenancy ratio in Italy obviously is a lot lower at 1.23. Can you just give us a little bit of just a few thoughts on the outlook for the tenancy ratio in Italy? I think it's been pretty stable since you bought the assets. Is there a pathway to getting that tenancy ratio up, whether it is through having Wind as a secondary tenant or Hutch or another? Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for your questions. The first question is regarding the OPEX and somehow you are suggesting the efficiency program. You are right. I mean, we do think that the efficiency program will present some reductions and some interesting activities from management to create value for our shareholders. As far as we can share with you is that our performance this year will be flat in terms of OPEX compared to the previous year. And we do think that in the future we'll be able to share with you further assessments in this regard. However, let me tell you that it is right when you say that in the next months, as we have broadcast back, we should see this EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA margin to be back to the range you were suggesting somehow. So this is something we can obtain in the future right now, or in the next quarters right now. We have an adjusted EBITDA margin of 39%. Last year we had an adjusted EBITDA margin 42%. So yes, as soon as this business is back, plus the OPEX contention, plus the efficiency program, our adjusted EBITDA margin should somehow step by step in a prudent way be improved. And also, your second question is tenancy rates in Italy. I think at the roadshow presentation and also in the IPO documentation that is available in our website, we share with you some hypotheses regarding the potential of the potentiality of the market and some further in terms not only organic growth, the commissioning. Again, we do think that somehow the company is prepared to increase this 1.23 tenancy ratio in the future following the same criteria we gave. You know that we are quite, let's say, shy in order to give names of clients, so we tend to be very neutral here as a neutral player. However, we are working with different operators in Italy and trying to reach an agreement and that will foster our organic growth. I think that, and let me back to your questions in general, our focus is organic growth. So we will do our best. This is something for sure. And this is our top priority. Much more than other rumors that can be in the press or other announcements regarding other companies. We are focused on this question you have said to us. How to improve the tenancy ratio, for instance, in Italy.
Thanks very much. That's very clear.
Next question comes from Jonathan Dan from Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi there. I had two questions. One was, did I understand correctly that the new Tetra contracts in the network division have added 4 million to the, so 24 million is the right quarterly run rate of revenues in that division? And then secondly, Could you tell us the at the end of the third quarter the number of sites and POPs in the tower business in Spain, and then also give an update on, I think you announced 1,500 mobile broadband customers. Could you sort of give us an idea of roughly, you know, how we should expect them to phase over the next year?
Hi, John. This is Juan. On your first question regarding the sale of data terminals, it is true that that's the 4 million in revenues is the impact seen in or expected for 2015. Also, bear in mind that this business is not a, or this agreement is not a recurring one, so this is really a one-off. Basically, these revenues are linked to the resale of equipment to our client in the context of the DDR business. So this is basically the impact in revenues in 2015, but you won't be seeing them again in 2016.
And then the second question was regarding information disclosed last H1 results. And yes, you are fully right when you say that at that time we said to the market that we had signed a framework agreement by which we could reach up to 1,500 new POPs. This is something we are working with a client, and it's something we will do in the next quarter. So it's not something you can get from one day to the other. It will take some time. I would say that the development of this network can be in the next 24 months. Okay. So it is not from 0 to 1,500. It takes a little bit long time. This is a very big framework agreement, obviously. That's the reason we highlight it. However, be aware that we tend to reach other agreements, which are more smaller, in the meantime. So we don't tend to tell them as maybe in this format, no? Let me not to say if it is in Italy or if it is in Spain, just to keep it as that. And also I think it's a development in the next quarter, and you will see that as a result of this development, the tenancy ratio should increase.
And do you have the tower numbers, sites and POPs for Spain? Because I think in the spreadsheets it's blended with broadcast.
Yeah, this is data we do have, and maybe we can put for everyone in the website.
Sure.
Let us remind all of you that in the website we have also shared with you an Excel sheet with a lot of information. I think it's very useful, with footnotes and trying to explain to you every single detail we do think. If something is missing, for sure we will reload the Excel sheet with this info. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, guys.
Next question comes from Domenico Gilotti from Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Two questions. The first is related to M&A. In particular, I'm trying to understand if you are looking at opportunities or if you would be ready to look at opportunities outside of, say, Western Europe, so in emerging markets or in markets like Russia, and how is this affecting your evaluation of the, say, value creation. The second question is just some kind of explanation on the net financial position at the end of September. I got some 13 million increase in net debt and recurring levered free cash flow of 43 million. So can you help me in understanding what is behind these two numbers, what is in the middle?
Of course. I think the first these questions are clear. Also, I think in the Excel sheet, I think you will be able to find more details regarding the second question. But let me answer you regarding your first question. I mean, emerging markets for us is not right now the key point. It's not right now the key point. I think that Cellnex so far should be focused on core European countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, we are good at mature markets in which we can extract value through organic growth and decommissioning and efficiency. So this is our way of behaving our business model, which does not mean that in the future we could acquire something beyond our core markets. We cannot be close to that, okay? But I would say in the next year we will be fully focused on Europe. And for instance, you explained some of the one of the former BRICS, no, which is Russia. I think that Russia is I'm afraid, is not a target market at all. Because of many reasons, not because of the business model, but also because of maybe macroeconomic situation, legal. So there is, we tend to work better in countries with very strong legal frameworks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And also regarding your second question of the debt, in which, yes, you can find in the Excel sheet and also for my IR can explain to you in detail. Let me tell you that the thing is that in this quarter, in these three quarters, we have paid many of the one-off effects that are in our P&L. So, for instance, if you go to page 6, the non-recurrent items, 16 million euros, have been paid in this quarter. The bond issue cost has been paid in this quarter. On top of that, you will find in our results, in our annual accounts, audited annual accounts, June 2015, you will be able to see that we owe to Telefonica 22 million euros of acquisitions of towers from previous years. So, I mean, there has been one-off payments this quarter. We are happy to have done so, and that's all. But it's due to one-off evolution, no? It's not regarding the business.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question comes from Octavio Adorosio from Societe Generale.
Octavio Adorosio, nothing
okay. Please go ahead, sir. Thank you.
Hello, hi. This is Octavio Adorosio from Societe Generale.
Hi.
I have a couple of questions. I'm afraid some is on inorganic growth, some in organic growth. Kicking off on the inorganic growth, so that's a follow-up from previous questions. You defined, you used the long-term expression that it's unfortunately difficult to pin down. So would Cellnex be prepared to go up to 6 times for the right transaction and the gear towards 4 times in the long term? Long term means 1-2 years or even longer than that. The second is, and I'm afraid because I'm an equity analyst, I'm unfortunately not very versatile on your bonds. There is any step-up language in the bond you issued? And the third, you talk about the willingness to keep, to basically having minorities. That would also include listed minorities, or basically you would be willing all to keep minorities not listed in the market. And this is basically about the inorganic growth. Moving to the organic growth, and this is also another follow-up from other questions about the tenancy ratio in Italy. Now, most of your towers, of course, Wind is already a tenant. Now, Hutchison, unfortunately, is in a limbo for the next 12 to 18 months because of the M&A, so it's pretty likely to make any decision in terms of decommissioned towers. TI is locked with INWIT, while Vodafone is not very willing, at least talking to the company, to basically decommission towers or go beyond the sharing agreement cell with TI. So what's the strategy there? Who are these three names that basically used would be your target for the time being to increase the tenancy ratio? And the third is a very quick question. The debt this quarter was impacted by one-offs that were predictable because were payments already agreed either with Telefonica or with the bank, the syndicated banks. For the fourth quarter, do we expect any of these payments or should be a relatively clean quarter for the debt? Thank you.
Okay. Octavio, a lot of questions, you see, three, but there are many of them.
The last one, so try to...
Help me, if I forgot something, you help me, okay? So let's start by the very last one, because the I recall the best. No, I think we have finished the one-off payments, okay, Octavio, as we said before, apart from the shareholder remuneration we can give, okay, if approved by the board of directors. So maybe this is one-off, but if this is the only one-off, you will be very happy, okay? So this is not... So the other question you raised about the organic growth is in Italy, and it is the limbo question. No? I take this as a reference question. Well, you are right. Maybe some of the players are in the limbo. Maybe other players seems to be with another tower company. You are right. However, these are not the only customers we can have talking about organic growth. There are other players. There are, for instance, Wi-Fi companies. I can invent, no? Wi-Fi companies that will be interested in deploying its network. Also, you know that these companies you said, which are MNOs, we all of them have obligations to spread the 4G technology. So many times, even though dismantling towers, it is what is happening. So different nodes need another tower, another bidder to deploy their equipment, and it goes beyond if they are in the process of merging or not. It's pure organic performance. Maybe they are not in the limbo for things. So they might be in the limbo for making big decisions, but not on a normal course of business. So our approach in Italy goes in this direction. It's obviously not only to be focused on MNO, be focused on what we feel is the broad market, which is not finished in MNOs. It has also some other clients which we think we can feel we can reach very good numbers. And also on top of that, keep on talking with different players with these MNOs in order to look for angles, even with our current main client in Italy, to look for new angles regarding the organic growth. We can be very helpful for them in terms, for instance, of upgrading some part of assets next to building to the towers. So I think the good part of Cellnex is that Octavio, we have talked about this before, is that we are obviously focused on tenancy rate increase. That's true, but it's not only organic growth about tenancy ratio. There are other things regarding organic growth. So we are focused on our client needs, and our client needs go beyond that if they are right now in a process of merger or not. So I think we have angle to do. And being neutral, player, Octavio, I mean, give us a very important point here to play with different bidders and with different angles, no? So step by step, I hope we can bring to you good performance also in both countries. Octavio, you have another set of questions which were about listed minorities. Listed minorities, I think, obviously not. I mean, when we talk about minorities, is the scheme we talk in Galatan Wind. So small shareholdings, maybe 10%, 50%, I don't know. But the big part, the vast majority, big part of the shareholding must be ours. And having a listed minority party is not the best for us. It won't be our base case scenario, in fact. It won't be that. I mean, it's something even we have never thought about that. I mean, listed minorities for us is not a target, I can tell you. Second, you talk about the step-ups in the bond documentation. For sure, no. I mean, the answer is clear, not a single step-up. I mean, one of the key things in our finance and refinancing strategy was to have a very simple documentation, with very clear clauses, with no step-ups, no covenants, no guarantees, no pledge. Listen, and this is very important for your very first question you did. When you talk about six times, five times, whatever you want to talk about, what you need is the commitment of your relationship banks. And if there is no, as there is no step-up language in the bond documentation, there is no step-up language in the banking documentation, there is no covenant. So this is very helpful. When you tell me which is your target, will be six times? And when you come back to four times? Octavio, we don't have a dogmatic view on this. What we can tell you is that, obviously, if we are 3.7 times right now, and we have to be six times because of a transformational transaction and to avoid increasing capital, we will do it. Obviously, as long as it's commensurate with our banks and bondholders' point of view. Octavio, one of the key criteria in order to make an M&A decision at Cellnex is not only good IRR, as we said, low double digit IRR or leverage free cash flow per share accretive from year 2-3 onwards, it's also the improvement of the cash flow visibility of the project. Octavio, is not the same being six times and having 5 billion euros of backlog or being six times and having 20 billion euros of backlog. So all these, when we tend to say six times, I mean, it depends. We will look at the backlog, we will look at the client diversification, we will look at the geographic diversification, and we will look at the rate at which we deliver the company. Right now, it's 0.6 times net EBITDA every year. So after a transaction, what we expect is to increase this deliberate capacity of the company to be back to a normal level.
Very comprehensive. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions. Thank you.
Okay, since we have no more questions, we can then conclude this session. I would like to thank you for your participation, and if more questions arise, as always, I remain at your disposal. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thank you.